This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, Lee, I was listening to your news, and it's spreading the disease of the judicial dictators,
yeah.
And they are a disease. Because as Jonathan Turley said, look, all of this is going to get overturned. It will. Or pretty close to all of it. He said he's never seen rulings like this by judges. Normally you, and I know what he's talking about because I used to cover federal court as a reporter. You're going to do something big, especially a blanket injunction like this. It's going to go for 100 to 150 pages, your ruling. These judges are turning in like half a page, one page. This is single space, double space, you understand. It's like that guy trifling on his quarter report. You know, there's no legal arguments. And Turley's saying, the Georgetown Washington law professor on Fox News, look, I mean, it is ridiculous. Alito is right. The Supreme Court saying, how is the Supreme Court even ruling on this? There's no arguments. And they're issuing, you know, injunctions, halts, emergency freezes. Based on what? They're not even making legal arguments. Why? Because they can't. They'll lose. They don't have legal arguments. This is judicial bullying. You are watching the takeover of the executive branch by the judiciary. Now watch the ball move here, okay? It started with Boasberg, who was the first to float this idea. Well, you know, if the Trump administration doesn't obey my illegal orders that I had no jurisdiction to give, then I will appoint a prosecutor to criminally go after members of the Trump administration. He said that last week, okay? He got slapped down. And I said, this will spread. This will spread. The judicial dictators will begin to do this. And you're going to watch in blue areas, in blue districts, the leadership of the Trump team get dragged in criminally and prosecuted, okay? U.S. District Judge Paula Zinnes just did what I predicted, saying the administration's ignoring court orders, obstructing legal processes, acting in bad faith by refusing to provide information about steps they've taken to free St. Kilmar Abrigo Garcia, the most highly valued MS-13 member in all of America, and an illegal immigrant, and a human trafficker.
How does a judge appoint a prosecutor?
Well, they're saying they can. They're saying they have the right to do it. Boasberg's done it. And so, or said he would.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
Well, yeah, but okay. Anything is possible in a blue district with a Democrat judge and Mike Johnson and John Thune asleep at the switch. Every day that goes by without that legislation restraining these judges moving in the House or the Senate is another day they get bolder and bolder and bolder. Lee, it has gotten so absurd through Mike Johnson's inaction and John Thune's inaction that they're now talking about openly jailing Trump administration members for deporting people with active deportation orders from a court. Let that sink in. And if you have any doubt that it is the plan, because this is a coup, it's a judicial coup, Senator Amy Klobuchar announced it. And even Dana Bash of CNN was shocked. She had asked twice, you're going to do what? Now understand what Klobuchar is talking about here is criminal contempt. She's talking about, this is exactly where Paula Innes, however she says his name, X-I-N-I-S, is going with this. Take a listen. She's announcing it on CNN.
Well, if the administration won't do it themselves, a court does have the power to refer it to the Justice Department, mentioned by Judge Boasberg here. But also, if the Justice Department won't do anything, a court can actually appoint a prosecutor on their own, an outside prosecutor, because they have the power to hold people in contempt. And that may be the people that did the deporting. It may be the secretary who's responsible for this. But they have the right to do this.
Okay, Dana Bash is so shocked, Lee. I mean, she's a liberal in good standing. Listen, she's like, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? And listen, by the way, what Klobuchar just said there. She's talking about the secretary. She's talking about criminally trying Kristi Noem. Understand what they're saying here.
Go ahead. I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying correctly, which is that you believe that the federal courts, maybe a district court, I'm not sure, you can tell me if the Supreme Court could even do this, should hold key administration officials in contempt if they continue to defy the Supreme Court, which I'm guessing you see.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the way our law works. Yes.
Why not? Mike Johnson, sit by, suck his thumb, and watch the whole thing go down. Every day they get bolder. And you know what's the, you know what's going on here, okay? Because Boasberg really set the template for this. His absurd argument is, okay, the Supreme Court ruled that I don't have any jurisdiction. And I knew that when it came to my court. And I just wanted St. Kilmar back. I wanted the Trende Aragwas back. So I just made some rulings. But his argument is, Trump should have done what he said before the Supreme Court overruled him. Ergo, Trump's in contempt. That's what they're going to start doing. That's what she's setting up. She's going to get overturned. Supreme Court's going to overturn her, more than likely. But in the meantime, she wants to set up contempt, criminal contempt, start the prosecutions. So every time I say, well, they can't put Trump in prison because the Supreme Court has, you know, he's got immunity, right? He's acting officially. Well, they're going to check and see if they can put the entire upper echelon in.
After the cabinet.
Yes. And that's why this judge has done the same thing as Boasberg. Hey, give me the names of everyone involved in this. They're preparing for prosecution. Well, then what happens? Well, I guess theoretically Trump could pardon them, but then we're going to have a massive fight over the next case and the next case and the next case and the next case. They're all going to go this route. So that now we're in an area we've never been in this country. Does he issue an absolute blanket pardon? Can a pardon go forward in perpetuity? So they can just, you know, do their job of deporting Trende Aragua and MS-13? Does he need to pardon them every week on Monday? And then the Democrats are going to say, this is the Gestapo. These guys are criminals. They can't even operate without a pardon. This is where it's going. Or the Republicans could stop it. Their choice. Because this is where it's going. And I mean, I never thought I would think about this for a minute, okay? St. Kilmar had 3 immigration hearings. All of them came out the same. He's leaving. He's got a deportation order. By law of this country, once you are found to be a terrorist group and designated as such, then any orders from a judge, oh, hey, the 18th Street gang might kill him because he's MS-13, out the window, gone, null and void. Doesn't apply for a member of a terrorist group. So he's gone, as he should be. And now the Supreme Court's like, well, I mean, they're at least indicating it's not a final ruling, Lee. We might have to have a ruling for, you know, a trial for each one of them, basically a hearing, I should say. As Trump correctly said, that'll take 200 years.
Which is the plan.
If Trump sends him out anyway, they'll put him in prison. And then we're going to have hearing after hearing after hearing. You're going to see Kristi Noem in handcuffs. You're going to see Tom Homan in handcuffs, which is where they want him. And they're going to be arguing. You're going to have one judge saying, yep, he goes back to prison. Another judge saying, you know, go pick him up. Trump refusing to turn him over. This is where they're going, just so you understand. Now, we could stop it at any point, but the ball is rolling down the hill right now. And then it's going to be arguments over one judge to say, well, Trump might have given him a criminal pardon, but it doesn't, you know, you can't forward pardon somebody for pre-crime, unless it's Hunter Biden. And you can't do that. So Tom Homan can't go out on the scene today, arrest him. Then another judge is going to overturn it. And it's going to go on and on and on and on. While Jim Jordan rolls up his sleeves and gives interviews about how it's also very unfair. And Mike Johnson guffaws for the camera about how very unconstitutional it is, but does nothing. What do these people do all day up there? Honest to God, what do they do? Huh? But that's what's emboldening these judges. This is where they're going. But the good news is, Lee.
There is good news somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if that was going to come up.
If Trump wasn't making progress, incredibly scary progress to these people, they wouldn't be doing this.
True.
Right? I mean, yesterday we just indicted the entire upper tier of Trende Aragua leadership and we're trying them RICO style. Democrats can't stop that. That's a disaster. Who will bring their voters to them? Not good. Not good. We incarcerate them here. They can't even let them out. They're going to have to get new ones past the military, which is controlling the border. They are panicking. They did not think Trump would come for the networks they've built with these gangs. And Trump's doing it effectively or they wouldn't be fighting this hard. All right, I got this time for when the kids will be in the cars. And I know many of you are sitting in a back seat. Mom and dad are forcing you to listen to this broadcast. Something you'll remember fondly one day, by the way, when you hear talk radio. And I'm going to tell you what I emailed my kids this morning. This week was a momentous one in our house because the second one of my teenagers, oh, God help me, got his learner's permit. We had the very predictable encounter with the curb where you do not drive. I've only had to grab the wheel twice, so he's doing better than his sister. He was very offended by that. I wasn't going to hit it, Mom. Okay, whatever. Yeah, you got to work on your passenger side perception, son. But, you know, every kid does this. So far, we have graduated from the parking lot to the neighborhood. If you live in my neighborhood, duck. And I've got two with driver's licenses now, and I'm not going to lie, it scares the heck out of me. Especially as a parent when you wake up to what's going on this morning. I remember being 15. I remember being 16. I remember being 17. I thought I was going to live forever. This morning I sent this WYFF4 article to all three of my kids. Fatal crash claims lives of three high school students in Spartanburg County. God help us. Multi-vehicle crash near the intersection of Fair Forest, Clevedale Road, and Old Blackstock Road. 4 p.m. Can happen to any of you. You think it's not coming for you? You're young. According to South Carolina Highway Patrol, a 2004 Dodge pickup truck and a 2010 Chevrolet Coupe were traveling west on Old Blackstock Road when they struck a semi-truck that was attempting to turn onto the roadway. All three occupants of the Dodge were killed. The driver of the Chevrolet was transported to the hospital with injuries. Sometimes, folks, we can't control this. But your best defense as a driver, I'm telling you this because you're probably like my kids. You'll tune your parents out, but you listen to another adult maybe. This is what I sent my kids this morning. The subject line was 3! You don't get to take the test twice. In our school system today, there's so much retaking of tests that people do badly on. Have you noticed this, parents? I'd be like, we didn't get to retake that. It creates this mentality in teenagers that you get a do-over. Well, let me tell you what. Law of the jungle, still in effect on our roads. You don't get to take the test twice. You don't get a do-over. It's pure law of the jungle. You don't look to your left when the drunk driver's hurtling towards you. We just saw this in Gray Court. You look once, but you don't look twice. He's going really fast. You're pulling out of your driveway. You die. You don't get a do-over. You don't get to retake the test. One wrong turn, you die. And it's good for adults to remember this too, but I particularly wanted to grab the scruff this morning of kids who are teens. It's so easy to do. You do not have the experience you think you do. I watched my son do this week. I gave him the keys in the cul-de-sac. He pulled up to the stop sign. He did what he was supposed to. He checked right, checked left. Well, left is where people are turning into the neighborhood. He checked left once, went to turn. I went, car just come flying around the corner. You missed it. First mistake. We hadn't even driven 250 feet. Though he'll learn. We all had to. I did too. I made a lot of mistakes. It's pure law of the jungle out there. And I want you to remind you of something I tell you about all the time. I could prove this to you with math. You are driving in South Carolina in one of the deadliest places to drive in the entire westernized world. First hint I got of that was when I moved here from Charlotte. And I had done a lot of stories on how people died in Charlotte. Where was the most dangerous place on the road? I had a whole map on the wall. I had tax in it with every single fatal accident. Turns out, by the way, the most deadly place is within a quarter of a mile of an exit going onto the highway. Half the accidents that were deadly in Charlotte happened there. Just so you know. I was fascinated by that. The other half were intersections, mostly. And then people running off the road. Anyway, here's the thing. This is a deadly place. And one of the first things I noticed, Mecklenburg County, where I came from in Charlotte 11 years ago, had the almost exact same number of driving fatalities as Greenville County did. And that was weird because Mecklenburg was twice the size of Greenville. In other words, our fatality rate was twice that of where I came from. And I went, jeez. Then I started noticing things like, wow, we're always in the top five per capita for fatal accidents. The state is. Greenville usually leads the state. The upstate does. You are driving in one of the most deadly places in the Western world. That is where we are. You have to treat it like you're driving in a third world regime. People are crazy here. They are. They're nuts. They're drunk. They're driving. The judge has already let him out twice, like the poor young man who just died in Gray Court. He's on his third DUI. This time he killed a teenager. Look left once and then look again before you turn. God go with you. You don't have to be in a hurry going through that intersection. It's okay. Be late getting to the gym. Big deal. Take your time. Don't run that light. Take the time to look right, look left, and then do it again. And as my husband taught me, one of the best driving rules ever, he and I now occasionally get honked at for the people behind us. We wait a beat. It'll save you. I'm telling you, it'll save your life every time. Wait a beat at the intersection like you never did anywhere else here. Yeah, it turns green. The doing is the beat. Why? Because that's the guy running the red light. He's going to broadside you. But he won't now. That has saved my life two times in the upstate. Once when my husband was driving, the guy would have slammed into me and crashed. It was, by the way, a semi-truck. It was like one of those big delivery trucks. I was turning to my husband and go, hey, it's green. And then I saw why he had hesitated. I thought he didn't notice. Nope, truck came barreling through. Would have killed us both, me and Crash. We were both sitting on the passenger side. So new thing, especially, you know, teen, your new driver, it turns green. What do? Hit the gap. No, you fail. Turns green, but boom is your beat. And then you go. You got to take that beat and look both ways. By the way, if you're pulling out, especially making a left-hand turn across two lanes of traffic, ba-boom. Check twice. Not once, twice. It's not good enough in the upstate to check once. They're nuts. You got to try to survive. I am so sorry to the parents. Every parent's reading this morning with their heart in their stomach. Coroner Clevenger reported both 15-year-old Daniel Diaz and 16-year-old Aben Sisk, Dorman High School, died at the scene of the crash. Dear God. Third victim identified as 17-year-old Itzel Garcia Trejo, later died from her injuries at Spartanburg Regional Medical Center. 15, 16, and 17. Remember when Florida passed the so-called Don't Say Gay bill? Which simply said, no, teachers are not having conversations with five-year-olds about their sexuality, about their gender, and about their pronouns. They cannot proselytize, recruit, or groom at school. And the left went wild, claiming that was a conspiracy theory. They would never shove pro-LGBTQ propaganda down the throats of students over parents' objection. Well, now it's before the Supreme Court, and it looks like that law really was needed. It wasn't a conspiracy theory. Justice Brett Kavanaugh was shocked yesterday that the state founded on religious liberty now won't let opt kids out of LGBTQ storybooks. You should see these books. There's only one point of view. I can be any gender I want. Here are my pronouns. In Mahmoud v. Taylor, a majority of the Supreme Court appears ready to side with parents who want to opt their kids out of Montgomery Board of Education's mandated storybook readings that involve pronouns, transgender children, pride parades, and a pro-LGBTQ message. Now, understand what's going on here, folks. A lot of people misunderstand this case. They think, well, it says sex ed, so I'd stop my kid out. No, you can actually still opt your kid out of sex ed, believe it or not, in the Montgomery County school system. This is English class. This is what they're reading. And they're saying, well, we can't have kids opting out of English, literature, whatever you want to call it now. Can't have them opting out of that. No, no, they can't do that. They won't get an education. How about you pull the books out? Stop with the left-wing indoctrination. Because that's what it was. Here's Kavanaugh just reeling as he talks to the attorney here for the school board.
But Maryland was founded on religious liberty and religious tolerance, a haven for Catholics escaping persecution in England, going back to 1649. I'm sure you're aware of this history. And Montgomery County has been a beacon of that religious liberty for all these years, with a strong Catholic population, a substantial Jewish population, lots of different Protestant. I mean, you drive down any Connecticut Avenue or George Avenue, you know, you see religious building after religious building. And I guess I'm surprised, given that this is, you know, this is the hill we're going to die on in terms of not respecting religious liberty, given that history. And so when history comes up, I just want to give you a chance to respond to how you situate that in Maryland and Montgomery County's history.
Every school board walks a tightrope, as this court has recognized and other courts have recognized. It's a difficult job balancing the interests of a diverse community. Montgomery County Public Schools are the most religiously diverse in the country. There may be different ways to handle this under other circumstances. Montgomery County did its best under these circumstances, given their curricular goals. That seems to me a fundamentally different question, and it's an important one.
Several justices suggested the school's curriculum does not merely expose children to ideas, but requires them to affirm what is being taught and regurgitate it in papers and other writings back to the TI to make sure you get it. Say your pronouns with me. You can be a furry too. Alan Schoenfield, attorney for the school district, told the justices it stopped offering opt-outs because it was unworkable. Why? Well, I mean, two-thirds of the class opted out. Can't have propaganda. Can't groom, can't proselytize if two-thirds of the class opts out. And you know what else? Can't teach English either. So they said no, no exceptions. Even though they were still offering exceptions and opt-outs for musical performances, dissections, high school sex ed class, and more for religious folks, virtually everything under the sun. But this there was no opt-out. Why? School board members said it specifically. We need to teach children inclusivity. No, you need to teach children literature. You need to teach them English. You need to teach them the language. That was what the subject was. But folks, I want to point something out to you that's bigger than this. And thank God we control the court. It appears that there are the votes to knock this down. Can you imagine, folks? All over the country, these school boards would begin telling parents you can't opt out. Now, you put that together with the emerging picture, and I'll tell you what they were doing. Because you could see it. Let's go to Colorado first. What happens there when your teacher reads you LGBTQ story time and tells you you're actually a girl, even though you were born a boy, a concept you never came up with yourself? And then you go home, and your parents are getting divorced anyway. Then you say, I want to be called Melanie. I'm a girl now. Do you realize in Colorado, if the parent that does not affirm, that does not use your preferred pronouns that you learned in school, that does not call you by your new name, can lose custody and not get equal parent time with you? If they don't affirm and call you the child by the child's chosen, in other words, if they don't listen to the child and the English teacher, I guess in this case, who is now really de facto the guide for the child. That's Colorado. By the way, that bill's already passed the House. It looks set to pass the Senate, and the governor said he'll sign it. You don't go along with the pronouns. You don't go along with the name the child has chosen. Good luck. Yeah, get custody. The parent who does gets custody. And so if you don't affirm, and it says those words, affirm, in your own home, if you do not speak the speech code, you'll lose your child to the one who does. That's Colorado, just so you can see where they're headed. So we're all clear on where they're going. What about in Illinois? Well, you're probably thinking, I'd pull my kid out of a school like that. Good luck. See, in Illinois, you have to register your homeschooled child like a gun. You know, the left wants us to register our gun so they know where to come get them later. You got to register your child like a gun. And then they send people out to check your curriculum from the public school system to check what you're teaching. And they also want to see your child's work, too. Where do you think that's going? Mandatory force them back to school. Oh, look. This mother is teaching Bible study as a subject? Oh, that's a problem. Yeah, they're not getting their inclusive LGBTQ programming every day. That's where that's headed. Can you see the picture that's emerging here? It's kind of a scary one. Then there are the kidnap laws. If your gym teacher can get you from South Carolina and Minnesota, puts you in a car, drives you there, because your parents won't affirm, won't go through with the gender, changing allegedly hormones that you want to take. Guess what? She can kidnap you, take you to these states. That's how this is going. Oregon, Minnesota, California. You'll go into a foster family there. No kidnapping charge for Teach, as long as she doesn't go back to, you know, or whatever adult drives you there. They take custody. And they proceed to transition you against the will of parents. This is all the same system. And yesterday, it appears the Supreme Court stood up to it. There seems to be a 6-3 vote there, I hope. I hope that's the case. This is going to slow them down a little, but they're not going to give up. And that is why they are so determined to get these books into the classroom. They've got to get it in your kid's head that they were born the wrong sex so they can begin the process of forcing you to use the speech code in your own home or lose the child. Right now, it's, well, just in custody disputes. But where they're going is you're going to lose your child to your government, to the government. You're going to lose them. They will then begin to reside with whatever teacher read the book or whoever wants to take him into foster care or whatever, because you're dangerous. And you won't be able to opt out, like homeschool. You won't be able to opt out at all. We dodge that for now. But you know what's good about this? You can see the whole agenda, and it turns out Florida did need that Don't Say Gay bill. They really needed that Don't Say Gay bill. Texter writes, my body, my choice, my child, who cares? Isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic? And finally, Texter writes, just contacted all my U.S. representatives, asked them to sponsor or support legislation to limit the lower court judges. That's got to happen. And finally, another Texter writes, tell the school board to kiss it. Move from Colorado. Actually, that case, the Justice Kavanaugh case, was Maryland. It's all over the country, but they're not going to give up. They'll never give up. Brutal news for Tesla, but not all that, not all that surprising. I mean, when your base is mostly liberal and they're as brainwashed as they are, they actually have them out there burning down Tesla dealerships because Musk is trying to stop the Democrats from defrauding them. But they're sheep. They don't know. They don't know like the first thing about what's going on around them. But they're easily primed to violence. All of that does not add up for Tesla. Tesla's quarterly earnings dropping by this is staggering. 71%, the company announced Monday. Yeah. Here's how that works out. The 71% drop is its earnings totaled $409 million, down from $1.4 billion. In the first quarter of last year. So they're comparing quarter to quarter, first three months of the year. It's brutal. Tesla's stock closed Tuesday afternoon at $238 a share, a nearly 37% drop from the beginning of the year. This has cost him dearly. And he's done so much for America. And I hope that none of this sours him, makes him bitter, or causes him to walk away from the fight, because we desperately need him, especially for free speech. Because folks, honestly, even at this point, if he were to walk away, in some way, even from active management of X, I'd be afraid of what would happen to free speech. Democrats are determined to break him. They hate free speech. They cannot stand fair news. And they especially hate any attack on their fraud, graft, and corruption. They don't like the fact that Americans know that Stacey Abrams stole $2 billion from us and never had managed more than $550 in that account, nonprofit account. They can't stand it. And he's paying the price. He's paying the price for all of us. So I really appreciate Elon Musk and what he's done. And I hope that he just looks at it like, well, I'm already the richest man in the world. I'm going to be fine. And continues to fight. Because without him, I don't think we win. Without him, I'm convinced Trump wouldn't be the president. I mean, this is a guy who, for the first time, only the second time, actually, since in the last 25 years, took GOP registration in less than 6 months. Republican Party hadn't figured out how to do it in 25 years. In less than 6 months, from third to number one, more registered Republicans than Democrats or unaffiliated. 6 months. GOP had been spending hundreds of millions of dollars trying to figure out how to do that for almost 25 years. And we owe everything to this guy, including our continued freedom. So I hate watching him take it on the chin, but wow, that's brutal. 71% decline as the left punishes him for ending their graft and grift.